Every once in a while, it is our privilege to bring in stellar instrumentalists. Stellar instrumentalists, not just normal instrumentalists, but stellar instrumentalists. Jeff Gunn is a Juno-nominated guitarist, songwriter, and producer for his work on Emmanuel Jal's The Key, which was released by Gatwich Universal. He is the author of Hidden Sounds, Discover Your Own Method on Guitar Series with Mayfair Music Publications, and Regular Guitar Tips contributor with Acoustic Guitar, Canadian musician, and the Guitar Mag in Thailand. He co-wrote the song Scars with Jal, and am I saying Jal? Is it Jal, right?
Jal, yeah.
Okay. With Jal and Nelly Furtado, I know who that is, for the film The Good Lie, Warner Brothers. That's the best lot in the world. I love Warner Brothers lot. I was down there a little while ago watching Candace film Fuller House, which was just released yesterday on Netflix. Watched the first two episodes. Anyway, moving along, it was an ADD moment. He has recorded with Emmanuel Jal, Nelly Furtado, B.B. McGill, Kanan. You know what? I'm going to not pronounce all of these names. I know I'm not going to get these names right. So, am I getting them right?
Nelly, yes.
Who's B.B. McGill?
She's actually with Beyonce's guitarist and musical director.
Of course.
We've recorded a couple of songs together. Yeah.
Okay. Kanan?
Well, that's Kanan. We got a chance to do a writing session together earlier last year.
Of course I do, because I'm cool.
Tim knows Kanan. Okay, Megs, we don't need to hear from you in the corner. Okay, Kanan, who's also a member of the Vulcans. Remember them, Tim? Hey, the Vulcans?
No, is that like the those marionette guys?
No, Vulcan.
The Vulcan isn't like...
Yes.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
See, I make a funny. He doesn't even get it. Razak, another Vulcan name, performed with... There's so many interesting names. Swizz Beatz? And
yeah.
Now, when you say DMC, that's not the guys that were with Run.
It is. We traveled to Africa together and did a concert in South Sudan about maybe 2-3 years back.
With Run DMC's homeboys.
DMC, yeah. Yep.
We're trying to get Run on the show.
Nice.
Reverend Run. We'll see if we can make that happen. Anyway, lots of names. You continue to serve as musical director for Jal, opening for such acts as Nico and Vins.
Yep.
Peter Gabriel?
Yeah.
You open for Peter Gabriel?
Peter Gabriel, yeah.
Dude, we need to talk.
Oh, man. We just got Timmy involved.
He's
here.
Coming here with Sting in a couple of months.
Bonnie Raitt, Angelique Kidjo, Mumford & Sons.
Kidjo?
Yeah.
Oh, she's amazing.
Why didn't you tweak on Mumford & Sons?
Oh, because I was listening to Angelique Kidjo.
Anyway. So, quite a lot of stuff happening in your world, man.
It's been a lot of fun. It's been a great journey.
You're a Toronto-based guitarist?
Yep.
Tell me about this axe you got. It's very strange looking. It's a Godin, so it's Canadian.
It's actually
Godin.
It's a Godin, and it's based out of Montreal.
Godin.
Yeah, Godin, exactly. Amazing guitar work here. I had the pleasure of working with Godin for the last few years, so I love their guitars. They make a lot of amazing sounds, which I hope to share with you today.
Well, I hope you can share that with us today. I've always wanted to know two things about instrumentalists. One, you know, putting together a song. The weird thing about instrumental songs is that you put titles on them. Because when you put a title on Baby Baby, normally you hear those words in the song, Baby
Sure.
Baby. Why do you put titles on songs? Why don't you just do what old composers did, like Bach and those guys? This is Symphony Number 7.
I think it comes from experiences you might be going through or reflecting on, like the one that you played at the beginning.
Yeah, that had a lot of emotion to it.
Thank you. It was in honor of an abolitionist, actually.
Oh.
It being Black History Month, a guy named Elada Aquiano, who was an abolitionist in the British anti-slavery movement, basically.
Okay.
And it was in honor of him, actually. And it just tries to capture that kind of emotion, you know.
So the other thing I want to know is, what do instrumentalists listen to? Do you listen to real music, or is it all instrumental?
I listen to everything.
Do you?
I'll listen to kora, you know, the instrument from West Africa one day, and then I will listen to Thailand music the next day, and then I'll listen to, I'm a big fan of Arcade Fire and of Monsters and Men in the pop world.
Huh.
Peter Gabriel, I love his work.
Yay, we're friends.
Jeez.
There's so much to name, you know, but I love, I guess you could say world music. Mixed with rock. It's one of the reasons I love playing with Jal so much. I get to do, you know, rock solos. I get to do African-style guitar. I get to, you know, basically share all these different things that I've learned over the years.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I love it.
So what instrument do you wish you could play?
Do I wish I could play?
Yeah.
I love the violin, actually.
Yeah.
I'd have to say the violin is a beautiful instrument.
I went and saw the Kitchener-Waterloo, the KW Symphony, one time. Do you know remember the Weebs, Tim?
Shane, oh, yeah.
Shane and Angela Weeb. Well, Angela's got a brother who plays in that symphony. and went, and it was so amazing. I just love. And anyway, the head violin player soloist chick came out. I'm sure there's a better name for that. With a long flowing dress, and she was playing this this fiddle. Or, no, I guess it's not a fiddle; it's a violin. My dad's up on the show. He'll talk about fiddles later. Anyway, it turns out the violin she's playing is worth like $1 million or something like that, from 1400s or I don't know.
That's how it goes, right?
Yeah.
The older they are, the more expensive, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's the opposite of a car, I guess.
Well, it's like marriages, too. The older they are, the more expensive the divorces.
Yeah. Yes.
Right?
Except when you're with Don Bennett.
That's right. Nice plug for our divorce attorney. Oh, so this is a Gulden guitar, except it looks weird. It's got holes where the hole shouldn't be and no hole where the hole should be.
Yeah, it's one that you can plug in, actually, to an amplifier or mic it. And I do both, usually, when I play.
So, okay. All right.
I just love the diverse sounds you can get from it, so...
Give us a little example of just playing around with this guitar, what it sounds like.
Sure.
Can you, if you don't mind?
Absolutely.
One more. Do it again. Do it again. But look, you can get a lot of top and actual bottom out of that. Like,
definitely.
It's very weird-looking guitar. What would it be worth?
This year?
I don't know how much it depends.
It depends what country and I think where you're buying it, but I can say it's worth into the thousands for sure.
Wow. So. All right. Well, let's give us a little tune, if you don't mind.
Absolutely.
What's the first tune called, and why did you call it that?
Sure. The first song is called Starlight, and it actually was based on a travel through West Africa, Sierra Leone, about maybe 2-3 years back. I took a bus and motorcycle trip from Sierra Leone to Liberia, and just the night sky in Africa with the millions of stars when you're way out in the interior is just absolutely beautiful.
Wow.
So it was to commemorate that.
I love it. Live on the Drew Marshall Show, our very own Jeff Gunn. Beautiful, beautiful stuff. Jeff Gunn on the Drew Marshall Show. Dude, the fingerstyle playing that you play is something that I would imagine takes a long time to kind of get a hold of, right? I mean, it was like when I took banjo lessons when I was a kid, I just wanted to play a banjo because I thought the banjo was cool. Turns out, you know, it is cool, finally. Wasn't cool back then, they said, you shouldn't start with banjo, man. You got to, because you're using both hands in a weird kind of way. You know, start off with guitar. It's a little simpler, you know?
I've found in the last few years, traveling around the world and stuff, there's been a lot of times I've been on my own. So wherever I go, my guitar goes. Like, it's just a given, right?
Yeah.
It's the companion, you know? And every opportunity I've had has been trying to jam with people, take in different styles of music, right? And then being on my own a lot of time, I will just translate that into a solo guitar performance. And it's a love of the guitar, the beautiful sounds you can get on its own. You know, I also love playing big stages and playing pop music and stuff, I also have a deep love of solo guitar.
Yeah.
So it's really about exploring those different sounds you get in through harmonics, through percussion, through all these different types of sounds.
Who are some of your guitar heroes?
Heroes? That's interesting. I have different ones, I guess, for different styles. Can I name the rock ones first?
Yeah, man.
I mean, what really got me into guitar was Slash from Guns N' Roses.
So it wasn't Ace Frehley from Kiss?
No, yeah, he was great. He's great, but for me, it was definitely Slash. And I had the opportunity to see him play last year in a little event at the NAMM show, and that was a real, real pleasure to finally get to see.
The what show?
It's called the NAMM show. It's in LA.
Where vets from NAMM come and gather, and
you would think so on first hearing it, but it's basically, you know, it's music manufacturers, everybody, all guitar companies. You walk in and they present all their new technologies.
So it's guitar nerds.
Yeah, it's guitar nerds, and everyone goes to, like, Slash is walking around. This year it was like Zakk Wylde walking around. Everyone that you've ever dreamed of seeing is like just checking out all this stuff and geeking out on the new equipment, right?
Yeah,
stuff like that. So it's like that. But I know Slash always been a fan of Santana, David Rhodes with Peter Gabriel, like his kind of ambient sound. Solo guitarist, more recently, people like, I would say, well, Tommy Emmanuel, I've been a fan of, who I believe has been on the show before, and people like Andy McKee. Don Ross is a Canadian guy, I really like his style too. So just, you know, depends on the style of music.
Did you ever listen to much Chet Atkins? Because that, of course, was a hero of Tommy's.
Yes. I've listened to him as well, too.
He was a hero of Tommy's, yes.
I listened to him as a teenager. My part-time job was in a library. So back then, we had CDs, right? So I was in a music library. People come in and borrow it. And I discovered so much music around the world, be it Indian music, be it, like, West African guitar, be it Chet Atkins. I mean, I would take these CDs home, like, because I worked there. And I just borrow them and listen to these things and, like, try to figure it out on a guitar, you know? So that was really instrumental
in my
growth. You know?
That's how I first found out about Seals and Crofts, was from a library. I remember going down and looking at some rare tunes in the library. Folks, we still have libraries. Go visit them. I can't go to my library anymore. I have some outstanding fines that I refuse to pay. It's ridiculous. Well, because I got a children's book for my daughter, and it was a tape thing, right? Cassette tape. And I lost the stupid tape. So I returned it, and they said, yeah, that'll be $140. For a cassette tape.
That's a lot.
I'm not paying that.
Rare now. That's what it is.
Yeah, that's what it is.
An antique.
Let's talk about this Emmanuel Jal. Do you know him, Tim?
No.
Yeah, exactly. Emmanuel Jal. He is the author of... He's the author of...
Sudan.
All right.
He's the author of War Child, who performed at Peter Gabriel's Africa Calling Live 8 concert. And his songs can be heard on the Blood Diamond soundtrack. Mm-hmm. So this guy's got a little bit of a career going. How did you first hook up with Emmanuel Jal?
Well, two ways, really. I watched the movie Blood Diamond, and I heard some of the music. I'm like, what is this? I love this. And at the same time, I was also... I do history, right? So I was looking at the history of, like, child soldiers in conflict, and he was a child soldier. I mean, that's how he got discovered and made his way with Peter Gabriel, gave him a shot in England. But I read his book, and then I listened to the soundtrack, and I reached out to him. You know, I sent an email. I checked out his music online. I'm like, wow, this is exactly what I want to play. It's got a little bit of everything. It's got, like, a little bit of African rhythms. It's got rock guitar. It's got reggae. It's got all these different styles I love in his music, and I love his message of peace and what he talks about in his lyrics. So I reached out to him in an email, and then ended up flying. The first show we did together was at the World Bank. Actually, we're doing a human rights conference, and we were the selected act to play. So just in that one day, I got to meet Stevie Wonder. It was incredible. I knew I was on to something new in my music career in terms of playing meaningful concerts as well, not just for entertainment.
Your meeting with Stevie Wonder, was it just a drive-by sort of, yes, nice to, okay, and then move on? Or did
it,
you?
It was talking for a minute, and he asked what we were doing, why we were down in Washington, and just a really warm being that emanates love and joy. I would say. That's how I describe him. You know,
sure.
It was a real honor to
you. Should, did you tell him there was something in his teeth?
No, I didn't mention that.
Tim, you'd do something like that, wouldn't
you? Never.
There's so many names in this. Like, your bio is just one big name drop. It's unbelievable. Who are the coolest people you've played for?
For?
Yeah.
I got to play for the Amit the Dalai Lama.
That was the one I was going for.
Nice.
That was a pretty cool concert, and that hosted a bunch of people. It was just a wonderful evening of music and just joy, really. I mean, it was amazing.
Yeah. We had one of his friends on the show last week, Bob Thurman,
who is
the first Tibetan Buddhist monk in America, right?
Wow.
Yes.
Isn't that it? I keep looking at Tim like he has all the answers. Tim's my Dalai Lama.
You'll receive total consciousness.
Really?
So I got that going for me.
What's that from?
From Caddyshack.
Oh, that's right.
Bill Murray.
Love Bill Murray.
Tim is a walking quote machine. Let's get another tune going, and then I've got a lot more questions to ask you, including the Glastonbury Music Festival.
Sure.
Because I was over in Glastonbury a few years ago. And so we have that in common. Folks, performing live on the Drew Marshall Show, this is Jeff Gunn. And this piece is called?
Candle Lanterns.
Why is it called Candle Lanterns? I want to know.
It's based on a trip long time ago. My now wife, we were fiancé at the time, we went to the Mekong River in Thailand. It's her country is Thailand. So we went there, and they have this festival every year where you send off thousands of candle lanterns into the night sky. And it's just beautiful.
Yeah.
And I tried to emulate that experience through using like guitar set there, harmonics and stuff like that to get
Love
those
it.
Kind of sounds.
Love it. Again, live in the Drew Marshall Show, Jeff Gunn. Stuff. Jeff Gunn on the Drew Marshall Show. Dude, this guy can play.
Wow.
This guy can play.
Thank you.
Just thought I'd point out the obvious. So, your wife is Vietnamese, is that right?
Thai.
Thai.
Yeah.
Way to get that one wrong, Drew.
That's all right.
So, when you go out to Thai restaurants,
yeah.
Are they real? Or does she go, this isn't Thai, come on.
She, you know what? Basically, I would say, yeah, they're very selective, but she works at an awesome restaurant called Sukhothai.
Okay.
Which is an amazing Thai restaurant. She's one of the chefs there.
Is
and,
she?
She's done a wonderful job. And they have what I would consider authentic Thai food. Like, if you like spicy, you will cry. If you ask for extra hot, you will cry tears
wow.
from that spice.
Yeah. Wow.
So where is this place?
Yeah, where is we? A little shout out for this
three
restaurant.
There's three of them. There's one at Yonge and Wellington, and the other one at Parliament and Dundas.
Okay.
The other one's over, I believe, at Dundas and Dufferin. Yeah, there's three of them.
All right. Now, does she sort of do the same thing a hairdresser does? You know, when you see a hairdresser and they have horrible hair themselves because they work on hair all day long, they don't want to do their own hair.
Yeah.
Does she cook at home?
She actually, it's crazy. I'm very lucky. She does like to cook.
Yeah.
When she comes back, she loves making these soups, you know, like ginger.
So you must be the healthiest garlic. Dude in the world, man.
I try.
Ginger and garlic and.
I try. I could be healthier probably, but yes, I try.
In your experiences, because you've been exposed to various cultures, obviously Thai culture, you, and all your travels, just talk about that. You know, the conurbation of the countries around the world, we've all kind of joined the globalization of world belief systems. Mm-hmm. You know, we're now way more exposed to various belief systems in different tribes.
Yes.
Where what do you do with all the God stuff that you've been exposed to and all the religions and faiths and tribes? What happens in your head with the God stuff?
I basically have seen, like, the oneness of humanity, I guess, is a way you could look at it.
Sure.
You know, I've noticed a couple of things. All people in the world, they want to be happy. They want to look after their families. I would say these are universal truths, you know, regardless of what where you are in the world or what faith, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, just paying attention to the commonality that we have. You know, I was raised originally in the Christian tradition, so
yeah.
I have experience from the church, and I still go periodically to play at the church. And I would also say, in my own experience too, my own understandings have developed as well too, I guess you could say.
But does your wife's family come from any sort of faith tradition?
Yeah, my wife, she's a devout Buddhist.
Okay.
Yeah, she's devout Buddhist.
Right.
Her family, and there's certain aspects that I like as well too.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you know, it's interesting being an interfaith marriage as well too.
Sure.
It's quite possible. I think to look at the commonalities, you know, at the world's faith, what they hold to be true is common throughout most of them. You know.
Let's right.
Build bridges here.
Live in the studio is Mr. Jeff Gunn, and Jeff is a bit of a rock star on the guitar, not going to lie. It's rare that we get this kind of talent here in the studio, especially since Tim really isn't that good of a guitar player.
Right? I can spell guitar.
No, Tim plays a 12-string. Do you play any 12-string at all, Jeff?
I don't play that much 12-string, to be honest. No. I love it. I think it's a beautiful sound, but I don't play that much.
Leo Kottke, have you ever seen him perform?
I have not. No, I have not.
He's sort of the freak show 12-string guy.
Okay.
Right? Wouldn't you say he'd be the big 12-string guy?
Yeah. No, for sure.
Yeah.
I always played the 12 so I didn't have to learn how to solo because I had an excuse.
Yes. Tim needs excuses for so many things.
I can only play rhythm on this, guys. Sorry.
Jeff, let's do another song. What do you got for us, man?
Sure. This song is called Song for Peace, and it was written basically with everything that's going on in the world today. Just as a reflection, and it's a yearning for peace. You know, it's almost like a prayer, I guess.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Again, live on the Drew Marshall Show and his website. Pretty simple, folks. Jeff Gunn is here in studio, and his website is jeffgunn.ca. Thank you. beautiful stuff. Again, Jeff Gunn on the Drew Marshall Show. That one had, I mean, I don't know what to say about it, but it has this like lullaby feeling to it. It was a really peaceful song. I'm missing my words, Tim. What is it about? It was just the slowness of it. But it was all over the place. Well, it wasn't boring.
Thank you. That's good.
That's a nice compliment.
Yeah, exactly. It sucked.
Yeah, you're not ugly.
I think it was last year after there was some real things happening in the world, you know, with people getting killed and things like that. And it just came from the one day where, you know, we have a lot of events happening in politics in the world. And I just wanted to write a song that was just a yearning for peace, I guess. You know what I mean? Among humanity. So that's where it comes from. And
is it just an honor to be nominated for a Juno?
Yeah, it
you
is.
Hear people say that.
It is.
No, it isn't. You wanted it. You wanted it. Don't give me that Canadian humility.
Let me tell you what it is. I got nominated because I helped co-write and co-produce Emmanuel Giles' album, The Key.
Right.
And he got out nominated for Album of the Year in the World Music category.
Who won?
Escamilla.
See, you remembered who won, didn't you?
Yeah,
you don't remember who else got nominated, but you remember who won.
You know what the coolest part about it was?
Yeah.
Was I got to actually, you mentioned Fred Penard earlier.
Yeah.
We got... Because when you get nominated for Juno, you get to play during the week at a couple of events. We got to play Songwriter's Circle.
Nice.
And I hung out with Fred Penner before in the dressing room. He's like, hey, Jeff, do you want to take a guitar solo on my song? I said, sure. I used to watch the show as a kid. I love you.
Yeah, so, he loves hearing that,
by
the
great.
Way.
It was great. So I jammed on his tune. That was one of the highlights. And got to meet Lights and a few other artists I really like.
Cool.
But I'll say that the coolest part was bringing my sister, my mother, and my wife as my guests to the actual Junos that night, you know, because, you know, it's not an easy road being a musician. And when you get those rare moments where you do get a chance to go to these awards, it's really about community more than winning. That's what I loved about it. It was about a musical community in Canada. And I made some great friends through that experience. And, you know, you end up working together. It's great, you know.
Yeah. How often are you on the road?
It depends. You know, I have an interesting life because sometimes I was really busy in the summer. I mean, like last summer we were busy. Last year was a busy year. And the year, last few years. This year right now is kind of a reflective period, I would say.
Good.
Recording new music and writing you know, forging new connections, particularly in Los Angeles as well, too, with fellow Canadians that have gone down there. If you heard the band called Magic... it's really big right now. I was fortunate enough to hang out with to meet they have that song called Rude, which is a big hit.
Okay.
But anyways, their guitar player is a great guy.
Oh, that's them?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. No,
the guitarist is a wonderful guy, and he's we've been doing a couple of stuff projects together we hope to develop further. Another great Canadian guy named Brian West, who's we're producing together on a couple of things with an artist, actually, in fact, my cousin, a guy named Terrence John. What we're doing is we're scoring music to all of his artwork, and it's going to be interactive.
That's interesting.
Yeah, live art show with live musicians travel around with him, and we go to different art galleries and spaces, you know, and have interactive art show. It's pretty
exciting. I don't know why they don't have more of what you do in certain rooms at the art gallery, you know, at various art galleries, just you doing what you do. And Sarah Featherstone, who plays harp.
Yes.
You know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I mean, I'd be up for it, sure.
Yeah, you'd be up for it. I want to tell everyone about your website, and I want people to get your CD and get them to creep on you, follow you, and buy your stuff, and go to any gigs you do. I don't know, whatever. JeffGunn.ca. By the way, two N's, Jeff and two F's, and it's not G-off. It's Jeff, J-E-F-F, Gunn, G-U-N-N.ca. Jeff, CDs, what's happening in the world of your releasing album stuff?
Sure. Well, if you go to the website, for starters, you can get any of those links, and you can see what songs have already released with Warner Brothers, with Emmanuel Giles, Nelly Furtado, different artists. But also, too, for my own music, I'm currently recording the album, so you can look out for it in the fall. We'll be able to purchase it, like iTunes and all the other...
Usual places.
Yeah. Look for it in the fall, basically.
Yeah. In the fall?
Yeah.
Okay, good, And do you play any sort of live events, and people can come chill and watch you?
Yeah, I do. Sometimes I open for bands doing this stuff. I got it like a 40-minute set I do the solo guitar stuff, which I'm developing, and hopefully get some more opportunities there. In terms of shows, though, you can always check. Usually I play most of the shows with Emmanuel Giles, and we play all over, you know, everything from, you mentioned Glastonbury earlier to
To talk about Glastonbury.
We opened for Bob Marley's son last summer, Steve Marley, which is pretty cool.
Yeah?
At a reggae festival, actually, which is pretty neat to be part of that.
Glastonbury.
Yeah.
Dude, That is a whack town, man.
Yeah, it was a great
It's so interesting.
It was amazing.
It's got that's where I met two of the world's leading witches and had a great conversation with them at one of the oldest pubs in town.
Wow.
They both have their PhDs. They're very fascinating people. Yeah. But just a walk around the town, I mean, it's pagan central. It's they've got every kind of pagan-y thing you can imagine. And that was real well said, too.
Excellent.
Thanks. Yeah, I'm in radio. What was your experience of the festival, though? Because when I went, the festival wasn't on.
Sure.
Because the Olympics were on. And they couldn't have the Glastonbury Festival.
Wow.
Because they didn't have outhouses or fences.
Wow.
Because it was all at the Olympics.
If I had to sum it up in one word, it would be community. I mean, playing there, I never got a chance to go to Woodstock. I was too young. But the feeling of community, at least, was unbelievable, where after the show, everyone hangs out. I mean, all the bands literally camp right there. You have tents, so all the bands are camping. Like, I walked around. I met the lead singer of Radiohead, who I liked, Tom York, there for a long time. And we've done some recordings with Nile Rodgers, like, you know, song Get Lucky,
yeah,
the guitarist.
Yeah,
and he's a legend with Chic. But to hang out with them backstage and just talk and to, you know, this real feeling of community.
Cool.
The Stones headlined that year.
Did they hang out in camp?
I didn't see them, actually, no. I'm sure they flew in, but no, it was an incredible concert, and there's an artist named, you might have heard him, named Billy Bragg.
Yes, I have.
He's the one who brought us to play, so Emmanuel has some connections with him, but that was really, really cool to be part of that experience, for sure.
Excellent.
And it's been wonderful.
Good, man. Good. All right, well, listen, one more song. Can we get one more song out of you?
Yeah.
What are you going to do this time?
This is a new one, actually, that was just written, and you can look out for it, too. Going to be putting up online and filming it at a few different things. So it's called New Beginnings.
Why? Why did you call it New Beginnings?
The song came to me about a month ago. I was sitting there, and I was actually thinking of writing a new up-tempo type tune for solo guitar, and then it just came to me in bits and pieces, and then I went to L.A. and I recorded it for Acoustic Guitar Magazine.
Nice.
I'm going to Guitar World in a few weeks to film it as well. But you can look out for it there on my website if you want to check it out.
Jeff Gunn performing New Beginnings on The Drew Marshall Show. Thank you. Beautiful stuff. That was fantastic. What a strong finish, man.
Thank you.
Really well done. Jeff, stoked to have you here.
Thank you very much for having me.
We posted your video from, I think, about 7 years ago where you covered Coldplay.
Oh, yeah.
This acoustic solo version. Dude, it's 614,000 views, almost 615,000 views.
It's been well received, so I'm grateful. And it's an honor to one of my favorite pop rock bands. So.
Yeah, really well done. So we're going to go out playing a little bit of that.
Okay,
just
cool.
Just giving everyone a little fun sample of who you are, okay?
Thank you.
So again, Jeff Gunn, JeffGunn.ca. That's who you've been listening to on The Drew Marshall Show. Stay with us. Mm-hmm.